When you pray, this is what I want you to pray. I've said this over and over again. Don't pray what you grew up with. You're wasting God's time. Sometimes you're wasting my time. I'm just going to be honest with you. Pray what God said. All these other theatrics. How does God connect to you? Through his word. How are you going to connect with him? Through his word. If you're going to pray, just tell us what God said. You see, one of my children is here. I won't tell you which one. But one of them, she's notorious about telling me what I said. Don't tell anybody it's Jesse. But she would tell me, Daddy, you said. And I'm not a kind of daddy that I should lie. I'm not a kind of daddy that should make up stuff. If I said it, I would do it. If I promise, I will bring it to pass. Guess what? I just quote Numbers 23:19 for you. The same thing with your heavenly Father. When he says something, he cannot lie. That's right, Pastor. Whatever he say, he will make it good. If he make a promise, you know why many of you make promises to your children and don't keep it? Because you don't know the power of your word. Your word has no value to you, so you just say whatever you want. But if you tell those children we're going to Disney, they expect you. They have faith, they hope that you're taking them to Disney. So how do you pray? Just put God into remembrance of his word. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for my shoe. I got some new tennis shoe today. Hallelujah, glory to God. Go all day just thanking God for your new tennis shoe. Thank God for your new whatever. If you go to pedicure and you got a new, oh Lord, that's beautiful. Lord, I thank you. You don't wait for nobody to say you look good. You know you look good. You know how you looked yesterday. You know how you look today. And you know God did it for you. So don't worry what anybody think or say. Wake up and say, Lord, I thank you. Look at me. I done lost 5 pounds. Oh, glory. Shout all over the kitchen. If you have a puppy dog, they'll be watching you. They say, man, something is going on up in here. Because you're praising God. You see how this still work? So speak the word. You cannot connect with God without prayer. Did you hear what I said? And yet, guess what most of us don't do? More than 80%, listen to me. You know I do research and study, you know. More than 80% of the body of Christ don't pray. These are people who profess to be saved. But they don't communicate with their lover. They don't communicate with their father. All of you brothers in the house who have children, sisters, how would you like to be a father or mother and you never heard one time a whole year from your children? Will you rush to buy them new clothes? Will you rush to buy them new cars? Will you rush to buy them whatever? Of course not. Same with God. So we need to begin to pray pray the word, even praise for 19 years. God is my witness. I've literally have to stop the choir. I do the same thing in my house. When they say something that is not love the spirit in Christ Jesus, I will say, no, I bind that devil, not in my house. I will tell them, go outside. But you can't say that inside this house. The same thing in the choir. Many of you are new. You don't know this about your pastor. I've had to stop the choir. I have to tell musicians, we are not going to sing that song. Not in this church. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to activate the law of the spirit in Christ Jesus. People ask me, what kind of song we're going to sing? It's very simple. Sing the word. Sing the word. Whatever is in the Bible, sing it. If you find it in the Bible, sing it. I'm blessing the city. I'm blessing the field. Keep on singing it. Until everybody is blessed. Oh, Jesus. And we need to stop making excuses. People would tell me, Pastor, well, I come for the word. I just don't like the praise team. No, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't like all those people in the choir stand. They're full of phonies. Are you in church because of the people in choir stand? Please don't come to church because of me. You will be in big trouble. Are you listening to me? Because I will do something. You don't serve God because of man. You serve God because you love him. Because he heard your cry. Because he pitied every groan. Nobody know like you know what God has done for you. Are you still here? You're here to worship God, not man. Well, people would tell me, Pastor, the reason why I don't come during praise worship, I don't know most of the song. I don't know the words. Well, that's why we got big screen. That's right, sister. There is no excuse. If the truth be told, I don't know most of the song myself, but I can read. And that put it so big, even Ray Charles can see it. Amen. You ought to be grateful. Many churches don't have no big screen. See, many of us, we will get to heaven and God will say, that ain't right. Not only do I give you a good church, I give you a big screen, I put the lyric, what else? But you refuse to say thank you. Some people will say, I'm just going to be honest with you, Pastor. I just don't like the kind of song. I don't like all this contemporary stuff. I like old song. I'm from the old school. I grew up with old song. I'm old. I sing old till I die. But the Bible says sing a new song. Ain't that something? So we have to be willing. You got to be willing and you got to be obedient to eat the good of the land. Are you still here? People will tell me, well, Pastor, I was going to come. They say, but I heard you removed my niece. My niece not going to sing the solo. I heard my niece not on the program. We ain't got no program. What program? Many times when I come Sunday, I have no clue who's going to sing. I have an appointment with God. I'm coming to visit with God. I don't care who is going to preach. I don't care who is going to sing. Some people will call the church office. You know, you need to tell me who's preaching today. And who is preaching, determine whether they're going to come on. You see why? This is the reason why we stay sick. This is the reason why we stay defeated. This is the reason why we are average and not above average. We got to change our thinking. It's not about your needs. This is not a place of entertainment. It's a house of God. When you say, I'll come in just for the word, you see, that means, you see, I told you long ago, and I say this and shut up. I told you long ago, there are two kinds of people in the world, givers and takers. When you say, I just come to hear the word, what you are saying is that I'm a taker. I make sure they know how to time it. They know exactly when the pastor will get up. And then they begin to walk and race in there.
We pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
Power, the indwelling and the presence of God's Holy Spirit. To my wife, whom God has blessed me with. To these deacons who carry the covenant of Christ. To Minister Harbor, to Minister Simon, to Minister Brady, to Pastor Alford in his absence. To those thousands and thousands who we minister to by radio. And to you, O citizens of the kingdom of God, I greet you all in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The God that we serve is an awesome God, and he is worthy to be praised. I want to talk to you today from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. A very familiar passage, John 3 and 16, very familiar passage. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Our young people just said Jesus is the reason for the season. Found in John chapter 3 verse 16, and the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, let's say it again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to talk to you today about Jesus is the greatest gift of all. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. The grass will wither, the flower it will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. The word gift means something that is given to another person or to a group or organization. Gift also means a special ability. Full definition of gift means that is a notable capacity, talent, or endowment. The word gift also means something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. The act, the right, or power of giving. That is what the word gift means. Here in our text today, we discover that this is God who is the giver, and we are the receivers of the gift. Our text today, the children of Israel, the Hebrews, were given a gift. Not because they had been so holy, not because they had been so righteous, but it was because of the love of God. The Hebrews, the Jews, were God's chosen people, and not because they chose God, it was because God chose them. God made the first step. God was the one who initiated the contact, the relationship. It was God. Now, you need to know that it was not because God didn't have anything else in heaven to do. It was because of his love. Children of Israel were at times some bad actors. At times they were ungrateful. At times they were unthankful. At times they were unholy. But yet God still loved them. Children of Israel were often people that were rebellious, unrighteous. But yet, God loved them. I want us to relate, and we should be able to relate to the children of Israel. Because of Jesus Christ, we are the children of God. We are God's people. We are just as much of God's people through Christ Jesus as Moses. We are just as much of God's people as David through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, this gift that God gave us, we are just as much as his children as King David. The man that was after God's own heart. God did not love David as much as he loves you. He did not chose David over you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, throughout his redemptive work, through the shedding of his blood, through his love for us, when God looks at David, when God looks at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he also sees that same favor. Preach, Reverend Turner. That same favor that was bestowed upon Abraham because of his faith and because of his righteousness, that same favor has been given to you through Jesus. There ought to be some folk that ought to be really thanking Jesus. The reason why God I believe, gives us these liturgical messages. Liturgical means that you will be able to walk out of Christian Love and be able to walk in Southern Baptist or First Baptist or Second Baptist Church and hear the same message. We all are in harmony. The way you see the chosen generation dancers, that's liturgical. You should be able to walk out of Christian Love and hear the same message. We're all in harmony. We're all in sync. He's giving us these messages at this time of year, and every year and every Sunday, is because it is very easy for us in this time to get out of focus. We are wrapped up in trees, gifts, jewelry, presents, people, places, things. And we are misdirected from the greatest gift. In fact, we get so caught up in December about someone else's birthday, and we forget it's Jesus' birthday. We get caught up in the celebration. We get caught up in what we're going to get. People are in a rush. People are in a frantic mode, and they forget that Jesus is the reason for the season. In fact, we go so far as to get angry and fall out with a church member or a family member or a co-worker or a sister or brother because they did not get us a bracelet, a necklace, a ring, our money, our food, or because somebody didn't cook the turkey, or we get all wrapped up in that and we forget about that we really have the greatest gift. Turkey can only save you from hunger for a little while, but Jesus can save your soul from an eternal hell. And so in this text, Christ reminds the Jews what Jesus is. First of all, Jesus is the greatest gift of all. We see that this gift that God gave, this gift was unique. This gift that God gave comes with a promise. Somebody say a promise. You see, the gifts that you're going to get on Christmas comes with directions. This gift comes with a promise. It comes with the promise of victory. In Genesis 3 and 15, it comes with a promise. God said, listen, this gift that I'm going to give mankind, he says, first of all, Satan, you have used and beguiled and tricked my poor little creation of a woman, my beautiful creation. You tried to distort it. You tried to mess her up. He says, you used her to introduce or to bring sin into this world. Watch this. He says, that same seed that comes from that woman, I'm going to use. Watch this. How many of you know if we mess it up, God can fix it up? Preach, Reverend Turner. You need to know today. Touch a neighbor. Say, don't worry about it, honey. If you mess it up, God can fix it up. Adam and Eve had eaten. They had done that which was wrong. Satan had come along and beguiled Eve. And God says, listen, don't worry about it, children. I'm going to fix it. God already knew what he was going to do. He said, that same woman, which is Eve, that you allowed, that you use to introduce or to bring sin into this world, he says, her seed, which was Mary, don't you see her way down there in Nazareth? Are you with me yet? Highly favored. When the angel went to Mary, he said, Mary, thou art highly favored. That same woman that you used to bring sin into the world, I'm going to take her and, are you with me yet, and bring the Savior into the world. Another little Eve. A seed from Eve. Girl that's highly favored. Watch this. God brought his promise, brought his gift with a promise. He said, I promise you. He says, that gift that I'm going to bring. He said, there shall be a tie, there shall be enmity, which means that there's going to be a tie, that there's going to be a connection between. He was talking to Satan. You see, you need to know at this point, he was telling Satan, listen, you tried to mess things up. He said, I got a way to fix it up. You will never defeat God. You will never get bigger than God. And he was showing Satan, you will never get bigger than me. How many of you need to go to shout right now? Because whatever Satan is doing to you, God already knows that you will not be defeated. You will not be defeated if God is on your side. He says, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel, which is Calvary. But guess what? Let me tell you, every weapon formed against you shall not prosper. This gift that God has given you, Jesus Christ, comes with the promise of victory. You will be victorious. You will win. You will win in the end because you belong to Christ. You will not be defeated. You will not be taken out. You will not. You will not die. You will live. I'm talking to somebody today. You shall not die. You shall live because the God that you serve is a God of life. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. Secondly of all, not only is this gift comes with the promise of victory. Secondly, we see that this gift was the plan of God. It was his plan because you will find out Jesus and his plan would give us life. This gift not only brings victory, but Jesus, this gift brings life. Watch this. Not only does this gift bring life, but he brings it that you might have it more abundantly. In John 10:10, Jesus says, I'm the gift, and by me being the gift, life, which is salvation, Jesus brings. If you got a shout, it ought to be right there. He saved us. He brought salvation. How many gifts have you ever gotten on Christmas that will bring you salvation? Xbox can't do it. Diamonds can't do it. They might be a girl's best friend, but they can't do it. They cannot save your soul. New car can't do it. New house can't do it. Only Jesus can give you life. Jesus says in John 10:10, he said, the thief coming not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says, I come. I was given to you. I was transferred to you from God that you might have life and that you might enjoy this life, that you might have an abundance of life. And abundance of life does not mean how long you live. It means how well you live. It doesn't mean how long you live. It means how well that you live. How much, he said, this abundance of life, he says, you're going to have an abundance of life. You are going to enjoy what God has given you. You're going to enjoy your children. You're going to enjoy your health. You're going to enjoy where you live. You're going to enjoy where you ride. You're going to enjoy every day that God allows the sun to rise in your life. Seeing the grass turn green, seeing the trees as in their own imperious way take on this beautiful color that's unimaginable, you are going to enjoy it. That's life. That's living with no worries, concerns. There's a difference in concerns and worries. I'm concerned about my light bill, but I'm not worried about how God is going to take care of it. Are you with me yet? This life that Christ brings to us, preach, Reverend Turner, this life that he brings us joy, brings us peace, brings us a joy, a peace that is that passeth all understanding and guard our hearts. A peace that moves upon you. A joy that the world can't give you. And the world cannot take it away. A